This week we have a double parsha, Matos and Masai. You're on time, exactly. And if time will allow us, I will hopefully be able to address both of these parshas. Parshas Matos. Kapitel Lamed Aleph, chapter 31. We have Hashem Yisborah's command to Moshe, Nekoyim Nikmas B'nai Yisroel Me'ez HaMedyanim. Take vengeance for B'nai Yisroel against the Midyanim. So Moshe sends out the army to take vengeance of Midian. Now we're taking vengeance here for Midian and Moav, some kind of partnership here between Midian and Moav, who they were mafkir their daughters. The end of Parshas Balak, when they saw where Hashitim, they were mafkir their daughters and encouraged them to seduce Bnei Yisrael into Avodah Zarah, thereby causing 24,000 Jews to perish. You know, I gave him a plague. So Pinchas stood up and to take on Hashem's honor and stop the plague. But nevertheless, Midian did the damage. And therefore, they are to avenge Bnei Yisrael's honor, the vengeance of Bnei Yisrael from the Midian. So, the one that is to head this war, the general here, is Pinchas. And when they come back, it says in Pasuk Yud Gimel, "Vayetzu Moshe ve'Elazar Hakohen v'Chalasiyah Ha'Eidah Lekrosam v'Chutz Amatna." Moshe and Elazar and all the leaders of Bnei Yisrael went out to greet them v'Chutz Amatna. "Vayiktzayv Moshe al-Pekudei Hachoyel." Moshe was angry with the commanders of the army. We're talking about commanders of the army. We're talking about Pinchas. Sorry, I love him. Sorry, I'm always the officers of the thousands, the officers of the hundreds. Whatever the Moshe, Moshe says to them, "Achizim called the keva. Did you let every female lip? Hein heino, how you live in a Yisrael with Dvar Bilam? Behold, it was they who caused the children of Israel by the word of Bilam, limsur mal v'Hashem al Dvar Poer, to commit a betrayal against Hashem." Regarding the matter of Poer, by this whole story. Whoa. How can you let the females live? They were the ones that caused all this trouble. That was Moshe's taina to the Pekudei Achol, to the commanders of the army. And we need to understand, what was Pinchas thinking? Hashem commands to take vengeance for the honor of Bnei Yisrael for what took place in Shittim, which and the females were the ones that were responsible. They caused Bnei Yisrael to sin. They caused caused Bnei Yisrael to perish. 24,000. How did Pinchas make such a, it seems to be such a terrible mistake, and allow the Nekevis to live? If you look at the Parshas Ki Tzetze, it's one of the last Parshas in the Torah. Kapitel Chav Gimel, this is in Devarim, Chav Gimel, which is 23, Pasuk Dalet. Lo Yavoy Amoini Umayavi Bekal Hashem. No Amoini or Umayavi can enter into the congregation of Hashem, meaning they cannot marry into Klal Yisrael. Why? Al Dvar Ashalaikidmu Eschem Alechem Avayim, even though we accept Gerim from any other nation, not Amoini and not Vayavi. Why? Al Dvar Ashalaikidmu Eschem Alechem Avayim, because they did not come to greet you with bread and water, Vaderech Vitzeschem and Mitzrayim, when you came out of Mitzrayim. That's reason number one. Reason number two. Va'ashe Sochar Alecha Azbilam and Va'oir Mipsoir Aram Naharayim Lekalaleka. And they hired Bilam to curse you. So no Mayavi, no Amayni is allowed into Klal Yisrael for these two reasons. One, they did not come out to greet you with bread and water. And second of all, when you were coming out of Mitzrayim, they didn't come to greet you with bread and water. And second of all, they hired Bilam to curse you. Why? It seems that the main reason is missing. And they caused you to sin by being mafkir, their daughters, thereby killing 24,000 Jews. Why isn't that mentioned?
Could be included on the door.
Okay, that's a possibility. But here comes the bigger question, if that's true. The Gemara says in Masechta Yevamos, the Gemara talks, very interesting Gemara, talks about when David killed Goliath. All of a sudden, Shaul became very fearful that David would take over the kingdom. So Doigo Adami said to Shaul, you have nothing to worry about. Not only is he not worthy of being a king, he can't even marry into Klal Yisrael. So Shaul said, what do you mean? He says he's a descendant of Rus. Rus was a Mayavi. And the Pasuk says, she had no business marrying into Klal Yisrael. And he definitely, since David is a descendant of hers, that would make him a Mayavi as well. So there was a whole dialogue among the great people of that generation. Until one person, can't remember who, I think it was Amasha, stated, Kach mekublani mebezdino shal shmuel or Amasi. This is what I accepted. This is what I heard in the Bezdin of Shmuel Hanavi. Amoini v'loy amoinis, mayovi v'loy mayovis. That it is only when the Pasuk says that Amoini Mayavi cannot marry into Bnei Yisrael, that means only a male Amoini and a male Mayavi, but a female Amoini, a female Mayavis, She's allowed to. So Rus was a Moyavis. She was allowed to marry into Bnei Yisrael. And therefore, David is kosher. And as we know, David HaMelech became king. So how do we understand this? That it's the males, the Ammoni and the Moyavi, are punished. They cannot become part of Klal Yisrael. And the Gemara there says the reason. The reason is because the Pasuk says the reason why they can't marry into Klal Yisrael is because Ashadvar Ashle Kidmu Eskam Lechem Avayim is because they didn't come to greet you with bread and water. Darko Shal Ish Lekadim Ein Darko Shal Ish Lekadim. It's the derech, it's the norm for men to come out with bread and water. And it's not the norm for women to do that, so it wasn't expected of them. So the women are allowed to marry him. But it seems like the women were the one that caused all the trouble. They were the ones that seduced Bnei Yisrael into sinning and to worshipping of Avodah Zarah. And they're not punished at all. So I think there's a very, very strong message here. There's a Rashi in the beginning of Parshas Va'era, and you, a very, very difficult Rashi. All the Mefarshim try to deal with it. The pasuk in Parshas Va'era begins Va'era El Avram El Yitzchak El Yaakov V'Kel Shaka. Hashem is speaking to Moshe and saying, I revealed myself to Avram, to Yitzchak, and to Yaakov. Says Rashi, two words. On the word Va'era, Rashi says two words. Ela Avos. To the forefathers. So, usually we would say that Rashi's coming to tell us, if you don't know who Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are, let me tell you, they're the forefathers. What's Rashi telling us here? We know who Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are. So the Mefarshim tried to explain this Rashi. I believe that Art Scroll tried making those words into part of the Dibra Maslow, into part of the words beginning the Rashi, but Rashi doesn't say anything on it, so it's very difficult to say that. Look at the beginning of Va'era. Pasuk Gimel, the beginning of Eira. Eira, the Rashi Ella Avos. It says in the pasuk, Eira Avram Yisrael Yaakov. What's Rashi telling us? Rashi here in Parshas Va'era tells us that what Hashem was telling Moshe. Moshe had questioned Hashem. You sent me to Parai to make it better for the Jews. And meanwhile, ever since I came to Parai, it's only gotten worse. So Hashem says to Moshe, listen here. I revealed myself to Avram, to Yitzchak, and to Yaakov. I promised them things, and I never came through for them. And they never, ever questioned me. And here, I talked to you once. It was the first time Hashem talked to Moshe. I talked to you once, and you're questioning me. Chaval al da'avdim alo mishtakhin. That was what Hashem said. Woe is to me that those who used to be here are no longer here. Moshe, you've disappointed me. Rashi brings up from the Medrash. So I believe Rashi had a very strong question, very strong kash. And that is, we know that a person is expected to live up to their own potential. Each and every one of us has inner strengths. We have a potential that we need to live up to. There's a famous saying from the Rebbe Zisha. The Rebbe Zisha had a brother, Rebbe Meilech. They were two giants. And the Rebbe Zisha was a very humble person. Rebbe Zisha used to say, when I come up to heaven, the Rebbeinu Shlomo is not going to ask me, Zisha, why weren't you Meilech? He's not going to ask me why I wasn't Meilech. He'll say, Zisha, why weren't you Zisha? The Rebbeinu Shlomo is going to ask each and every one of us, why didn't you live up to your own potential? And never going, the Rebbeinu Shlomo is not going to ask us, why weren't you so-and-so? So what does the Rebbeinu Shlomo want from Moshe? Moshe should say, Rebbeinu Shlomo, is my name wrong? Am I Yitzchak? Am I Yaakov? How do you expect me to live up to such great people? Imagine the Rebbeinu Shlomo demanding of us to be like Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It's ridiculous. What was Hashem demanding from Moshe? What was he holding him accountable for? What Rashi answers is El Ha'ovos, and the answer is that Chazal tell us Chayav Odom Leimar. A person is obligated to say Masai Yagiu Masai L'Masai Ovosai. When will my actions reach the actions of my forefathers? When it comes to ancestors, true, the Rebbeinu Shlomo will never ask me why I'm not so-and-so. Because that person has their own potential, and I have my own potential. But the Rebbeinu Shlomo will ask me, your ancestor was so-and-so. Why did you not try to achieve the levels your ancestor did? And this applies to whether it's greatness in Torah, whether it's greatness in Chesed, whether it's greatness in Avodah, whether it's Midos Tovos, we all have ancestors that we can look up to and say, when will my actions be as great as the actions of my ancestors? And we'll be accountable for that. And that's what Rashi adds with these two words. Hashem's not asking Moshe, why weren't you like that stranger Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? Hashem is asking Moshe, these are your ancestors. El Ha'avos, these are your fathers. How dare you not try to live up to the levels that they lived up to? We find in Loit. Now Loit is the patriarch of Amon and Moab. We find in Loit's life two very good attributes. We find Hachnasas Orchem. He practically put his life in danger to take in guests. We know the story of Loit and Sodom. He took in the Malachim. He was almost killed for it. But he sacrificed his life for Hachnasas Orchem. One good thing we know about Loit. There's another good thing we know about Loit. That is when Chazal tell us that Loit was rewarded because when he came with Avram and Sarah to Mitzrayim, and Avram said that Sarah is his sister, because he was concerned that they'd take him away, that they'd kill him, Loit didn't spill the beans. He kept his mouth shut. And even though it seems very, very obvious that he'd want to do that, after all, you know, it happened to be his uncle and aunt. Sarah was his sister, actually. He kept his mouth shut. He was rewarded for it. One thing we know was not one of Loit's strengths was the concept of zinus, promiscuity. We all know the story of Loit with his daughters. And Rashi there tells us that Loit was, when it came to the areas of was nos, he was, that was not one of his strong points. The, what the Rebbeinu Shlomim is holding Moyav, Amoin and Moyav accountable for is Al Devara Shalakidmu Eschem Alechem of Mayim, your patriarch Lloyd sacrificed his life to give others bread and water. How dare you not go to greet Bnei Yisrael with bread and water? How dare you not live up to your avos, to Lloyd? Lloyd knew to keep, to value his speech, not to speak when he shouldn't. How dare you hire someone to curse Chal Yisrael? Why isn't Zinus mentioned? Why isn't the fact that they were mafkir their daughters to seduce Bnei Yisrael to sin? We don't expect any better of you because your patriarch wasn't that much better either. That is not something that was expected of Amon and Moab. It's not something that Rebbeinu Shlomo is going to blame them for because their role model, Lloyd, or his daughters. We're also compromised in that area. So when it comes to the reasons why Amon and Moab can't marry in, is because they didn't greet you with bread and water. They should have learned that from their forefather. They hired Bilam. They should have learned from their forefather to keep their, to value their speech. Zinus is not mentioned. And the halacha is Amoini v'loy Amoinis, Moyavi v'loy Amoinis, actually a female Moyavi, a female Amoini, is allowed to marry into Bnei Yisrael because we have no times against them. We don't hold them accountable for what they've done. They couldn't have known better. And when Pinchas went out to war to avenge what had taken place, Pinchas felt that it was the males that should be punished for this, not the females. The females, Zinus was not something that was valued in Amon and Moab. The bubbas weren't that much better. So Pinchas felt that the females should be spared, and Moshe Rabbeinu disagreed with. This was a special, there was a special command here from the Rebbeinu Shlomo, take vengeance for what took place. You know, the message is, I believe it's very clear. You know, we all have our avos to learn from. But it's not just we have to learn from. We'll actually be held accountable for it. And avos means all the way back up. And we have to take the messages from our Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, which are always to all of us. That the Torah has taught us about Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. These are things. This is something that each and every one of us will be accountable for on our own level. And then each and every one's personal always. Always, always. Our patriarchs, our matriarchs, our ancestors. We have an obligation to look into their lifetime, into their deeds, into their middays, and to learn from them, and something we'll be accountable for.
Didn't Avram tell Sarah to go bring food to Malachim? Avram tell Sarah to bring food to Malachim. So he didn't bring it.
Mayim, only Mayim. Everything else he brought himself. He was punished for it. Yeah. It says Rashi says he was punished that the that the water was given through through Moshe instead of directly from Hashem.
What's the point that the water in our parsha isn't against Moab, it's against Midian?
So Rashi addresses that. But it was basically, it meant Moab. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi addresses that. It's too late to start Masai. Another short word. Share with you just a short word on another on Matos as well. I had another shiur on Masa I wanted to give. It got too late. If you look at the pasuk, Hashem tells Moshe, "Nekayim nikmas b'nei Yisrael meizam adyanim." Take the mention from Bnei Yisrael on the Midianim. And when Moshe repeats it to Bnei Yisrael, he says, "Loseis nikmas Hashem b'Midian." Take vengeance for Hashem. So the Mefarshim ask, why did Moshe differ from Hashem's command? Hashem said, "Take the vengeance of Bnei Yisrael." Moshe says, "Take the vengeance for Hashem." So numerous answers are given. One is, there's a Kedushas Levi, Vadich Verov says, he asks, why is it that in the Torah, the Yantav of Pesach is always referred to as Chag HaMatzos? Never referred to as Chag HaPesach. Always Chag HaMatzos. You'll never find anybody calling Pesach Chag HaMatzos. We always call it Pesach. Why do we change from the way it's written in the Torah? So Kedushas Levi says that the reason we eat matzah on Pesach is because we left Mitzrayim with this, with dough on our shoulders, and the sun baked it into matzah. And that really shows a strong element of emunah on our behalf. That we trusted in Hashem, leaving with the bare minimum, going into a desert where we knew there wasn't food or water. We believed in Hashem, as the pasuk says, "Zachartu l'chesnurai." Hashem says, "I remember that kindness that you did, just followed me into the midbar." So the fact that we eat matzah is really a really shows the emunah of Bnei Yisrael. The reason why we eat the Korban Pesach is to commemorate Hashem's skipping over the houses of Bnei Yisrael and sparing the firstborn of Bnei Yisrael, while every firstborn of the Egyptians was killed. So the eating of the Korban Pesach commemorates Hashem's kindness that He did with us. So the Korban Pesach commemorates Hashem's kindness with us. The matzah commemorates our kindness towards Hashem, walking out of the midbar. Hashem favors Klal Yisrael, so Hashem calls the Yantav Chag HaMatzos. This is the Yantav of the matzahs. The Yantav that Klal Yisrael followed me into the midbar. We, on the other hand, favor Hashem's kindness towards us, so we call it Pesach. So says the Vadich Verov. There were two things that happened here in Shittim. First of all, when Israel sinned, which is an offense against the Rebbeinu Shlomo. Second of all, Bnei Yisrael died. The Bnei Moab caused a plague among Klal Yisrael. So there's two things to take vengeance for. They're to take vengeance for causing Bnei Yisrael to perish, physically. And second of all, for causing Bnei Yisrael to sin, spiritually. Rabbi Yisrael took on Klal Yisrael's honor. Nikoim nikmas b'nai Yisrael. Take vengeance for b'nai Yisrael. The fact that b'nai Yisrael perished because of them. Revenge that of b'nai Yisrael. When Moshe went ahead, Moshe understood that that was out of Hashem's love to b'nai Yisrael, but he understood that B'nai Yisrael needs to go with a different intention. We have to go for Hashem's honor. The fact that we sinned, which was a obviously compromising Hashem's covet, Lo says Nikmas Hashem B'midyan, our intention should be to take on Hashem's vengeance. Meshukoyach.